Hi there, and thanks for joining us. Well, it is finally getting warmer and summer is getting closer, which means that it is almost time for festival season to begin. And there are three big ones during the month of June to look forward to. We talk about them all on this week's episode. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, the first festival we are going to talk about is one of the biggest that's ever going to take place on the water in Cork City. It's called SeaFest. It's Ireland's largest free, family-friendly maritime celebration. It's quite a mouthful. And with me now to tell me all about it is the events manager at Cork City Council, Trish Murphy. Trish, you're very welcome to Red Business.
Thank you very much indeed.
This is crazy big.
It's huge.
Tell me about what is planned from the 7th to the 9th of June.
Okay. SeaFest, as you mentioned, is Ireland's largest free family maritime festival. It's been hosted in Galway for the last 3 years and attracted up to 100,000 people over the 3 days. And it's coming to Cork for the next three. So it is a mixture of on-water activities, vessel tours, exhibitions, learning all about the sea and everything the sea has to offer.
Now, indeed, the sea offers many things. Mm. Like it varies from food to meteorology, to ships, to everything that's going
Absolutely.
In. So let's begin with the food. You've got a couple of chefs coming down to,
we do
to
indeed.
Cook the finest things that float in water.
It is. And the whole point of the festival is really to encourage participation with our seas. So we have a number of project partners, including Bordi Skivara and Borvia, who are coming down with large-scale exhibitions and activities. So, for example, Borbia has the BIM Borbia Seafood Experience. And with that, you have cookery demonstrations with chefs such as Rory O'Connell from Ballymaloe House and Neville Maguire. And you have Pat O'Connell from the English Market in terms of preparing seafood, etc. So it's all about teaching about fish and sustainable fish and the cooking experience of it as well. It's really to demonstrate what our oceans can provide and how we can use them.
I've actually been to this event with another radio station, don't mention it, when it was in Galway, and it's massive. There
Huge.
Are loads of tents. There
Absolutely.
Are loads of different boats. You can go for trips onto the boats, obviously not out, but you can have a tour of some of the vessels. What vessels are going to be in port?
Absolutely. So we have the Celtic Explorer, which is with the Marine Institution. You can go on board the Celtic Explorer, meet the scientists. They do loads of research.
They've made some incredible discoveries
Absolutely.
Off the northwest coast in the last couple of years.
And they do things like seafood map or sea floor mapping. They teach all about the marine ecosystems. They've done huge exploration on our northwest coast, like you mentioned. There is also going to be a number of large scale fishing trawlers, so you can come and meet the skippers and talk to them about their days, their activities out in sea. We have the Gráinne Whale, which is with the Commissioner of Irish Lights, who are responsible for our lighthouses. We have naval ships. The George Bernard Shaw will be in attendance. Also, we'll have a tall ship, the Phoenix. So huge opportunities to get out onto ships, see what it's like in these large-scale fishing trawlers, research vessels, etc.
And where is all of this going to take place?
It's all happening Port of Cork, Cork City Quays. So it's down Albert Quay, Kennedy Quay, right in the heart of the city centre.
See, I mean, and I'm trying to think back of the last major event like this, and my brain is going back to the tall ships race. I mean, it's probably not going to be as jammed along the quays as then, but it is the biggest event we've had since that, isn't it?
It possibly is. We've been very lucky. We have a wonderful facility on the Quays, Port of Cork, and the sea is right next to us in the city. And we're lucky to be working with Cork Harbour Festival, our local harbour festival as well. And it's a whole week long, 10 days of activities. They're kicking off their activities on the 1st of June and they're up until the 9th. So there's going to be a wealth of activities on the water and ability to get out onto try sailing during SeaFest. So you can go out and try sailing with the Irish Sailing Association for free, or try kayaking if you want to get out onto the water. We have Curragh and Dragon Boat trips with Mehel Mara, Cork Community Boatyard, who will be running them during the festival as well as the vessel tours, as well as the various exhibitions, music performance activities that will be happening on the quays.
Absolutely loads going on. Now, the one thing you can't guarantee, and this is a common thread to this podcast, talking about events in June, is the weather. Now, what is in your favour is you are bringing the undoubted queen of Irish weather, the head of forecasting of Met Air and Evelyn Cusack, with you. She can't guarantee the weather, but she'll tell you what's going right and what's going wrong.
She will indeed. She will indeed. We're delighted to have her coming down. So she's going to be talking all about weather, how storms are named, how they're predicted, that whole thing we see on the news every in the weather forecast every day, but not quite sure about. So she's going to be there giving talks on the Saturday and Sunday of SeaFest.
And you're going to have Doug Allen, who's a guy I've interviewed before as well, a wildlife cameraman. Now, the stories he tells are just incredible.
They're incredible. Doug Allen is possibly one of the best underwater cameramen out there. He does underwater photography for David Attenborough on the Frozen Planet and the Blue Planet. And he will be giving talks about his experiences as a cameraman.
Yeah, he's got wonderful stories. As far as I remember, definitely about sharks and possibly about polar bears, all of which he encountered when he was filming for the BBC.
I've heard him speak, and he is just such an interesting person.
Now, the other thing is, and I kind of tipped people off at the start, this is yet another free event. You don't have to put your hand in your pocket once.
Over 100 free different events within the festival.
And how do you go about getting access to it? Do you have to book it in advance for some of the things?
No, there's no booking. You turn up on the day. Obviously, there'll be a lot of interest, but there's loads of activity within the quays, in all the different exhibitions, in all the different on-water activities and tours. So there'll be plenty there for everyone. What we would encourage people, because it's in the heart of the city, is just check out public transport. So you're 5 minutes from the train station. You're 5 minutes from the bus station. Park and Ride is going to be open the entire weekend, the Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Bus services, etc. So we'd encourage people to use public transport, but it is running from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock over all 3 days, Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
And there's definitely something for everybody in there.
Absolutely.
The website, if you want to get details on it, it's SeaFest, SeaFest.ie. Trish Murphy, what a great way to start our events podcast for the month of June. The best of luck with SeaFest and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.
So one of the staples of the season of shows is the Cork Summer Show. And I still have amazing memories of going to the Summer Show round the corner from where I grew up in Ballintemple when it used to be on in the showgrounds. Of course, it has a new home now and has gone from strength to strength. The chairman of the Cork Summer Show is Robert Harkin. He's with me now in studio. Robert, how are you?
Hi, Jonathan. Great to be here.
It's good to have you in, sir. You have the field.
We have the field.
And you're getting ready.
We're in preparation. Over the next few weeks, you will see it growing up out of the ground. 20, 30 marquees, the live stands, the cattle stalls, all of that coming together as you pass on the motorway.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, you have a very good vantage point as you're driving along the road, not too far from us here in Red FM.
We feel ourselves we have a phenomenal location. We're located between Bishopstown and Ballincollig. You know, 25,000 people on one side, soon to be 250,000 people on the other side.
You are billed as the largest agricultural show in Munster.
I would think we most definitely are the biggest in Munster, if not in Ireland.
You see,
absolutely.
I was just going to say, you're missing the trick. You should be calling
yourself in Ireland. We're definitely, you know, to be fair, you have all the local shows which feed into us, like Clonakilty, Bandon, Skibbereen, Charleville, but we are probably... A lot of the finals of the events that take place at those shows take place at our show.
The trick, though, and this was always the trick with the summer show, is it's for everybody. It's not just for people of farming stock.
It is so varied. It is so varied. The various things that we have there, from live music to, whilst we're Munster Agricultural Society, where we are located now, we feel we have an attraction for everyone, from children, we have face painting, we have food stalls, we have so many different things. we have families that come to us early in the morning saying we'll be gone by lunchtime, and you might meet them at 6 o'clock and they're still beaming after seeing so much for the day. We've fun fair this year. We have helicopter rides, which is a phenomenal force.
Oh, the Celtic Tiger is back. We've got the helicopter rides.
Yeah, with the helicopter rides are back in. They're not free and it's a commercial entity, but it is absolutely so. You can go at very near time. You can actually go booking your helicopter ride around Cork on online from the show.
Well, that is exceptionally fancy. Yeah, I've seen sheep competitions, but we've gone from sheep to pups to calves to whatever. There's everything you want. I mean, there's also the promise of stick making courses. I've no idea what that is. Do you have a hazard a guess?
Hill walking has become extremely popular, and stick making. So whilst you're hill walking, you carry a stick with a kind of a thumb shape that you're balancing. And sticks aren't strong; they're just made to balance you as you walk. Do a bit of walking in the countryside. Do any sort of walking, and we've the All-Ireland Stick Making Championship on at our show this
year. So yeah, it's not just a piece of wood that you hope for the best. These are well designed.
No, there's a lot of thought and design gone into this. It's spectacular to see it. Yeah, we'll put up some pictures on our summer show website and you'll see the actual carry on.
And going back to the 80s when I would have been going down to the showgrounds,
Temple, yes.
Yeah, there probably would have been a bit of stick making, but there definitely wouldn't have been drone racing. So it shows you how you are adaptable and able to bring in the new things.
We've moved on from, you know, the show is going for 200 years now almost, and or the Munster Ag is going for 200 years. So we have adapted very much so and brought in all the modern facilities into the show. So,
yeah. Look, there's a very serious side to the business as well, because our agri-food sector is the biggest part of our economy right now, and we've got a lot of people working and investing very heavily in it. But you need to get young people involved in this and show them it's not all the boring side of farming, which is why you have the Agri Innovator Awards.
We have the Agri Tech.
Tell us what they are.
So we're running a competition this year for Agri Tech. We're looking for any sort of innovation that will help and grow the farming within farming community, particularly in maybe health and safety, which is a big issue, and it's part of what we try to promote as part of the Munster Agricultural Society on farming.
The event itself, the organisational side of this, when do you start planning?
Literally the day we take down the show, on the day after, on the Monday, we are preparing for next year. We are dealing with the stands, the people that have come. We're booking, you know, bands for next year. It's a huge undertaking, the whole build out. The whole build out of the show takes maybe about 3 weeks beforehand, 4 weeks that we're on site. It's a building site, you know. It's when you pass it, you see the amount of construction that goes on the site. All temporary, and it comes back down. It's, you know, it's on akin to a U2 concert arriving, building up and moving on.
And a mammoth undertaking, but we're in a very environmentally conscious age as well. So you have to have consideration for the environment. And do you have a policy of return to as it was?
Oh, the field will be back in grass in 3 weeks' time. Currently, we have sheep grazing on it to cut down the grass. There are four-legged lawnmowers instead of us inside there with diesel emissions cutting grass. So we currently have sheep on the field now as you pass.
I'm going to hazard a guess, and I may break it to you, the sheep probably produce emissions as well.
Possibly, but look, it's environmentally friendly emissions.
It
fertilises the grass. And we turn it back in because we run another number of events there during the year. We have some show jumping events, we have some dog shows there, international dog shows and various things like that.
Is it a not-for-profit enterprise or is this a commercial entity?
No, we're a charitable organisation. We run the show on hopefully a break-even situation.
Okay, yeah. And it always is a tricky, and the weather is your biggest enemy, isn't it?
Like any outdoor event in Ireland, you know, weather has been really plays a big part of it. You know, it can be too hot or it can be too wet.
Oh, it's never too hot.
You know, if it's 28 degrees, people will go to the beach. If it's 20 degrees, that's our ideal weather temperature. They'll come to the show, they'll have their ice cream, they'll listen to the music, and they'll enjoy their day.
So, of course, it's too far away to predict with any confidence, but you've had a good run of weather.
We had 2 or 3 years where we had wipe out with rain, but so far for the last number of years, the summer has been very good. And hopefully, again, you know, it's not a cold spot. It's a nice sheltered area. It's so any bit of nice warm weather at all, and we'll be very happy.
So all the details of the exhibitors and how to get to it and the public transport going to be available on the day, where can people find
it? Public transport is a big part of what we do to get people there. We have huge parking. We've over 50 acres of parking, and we have a one-way system, and the local Gardaí give us a very good hand in parking and so on. It's very smooth in the running of it, so we don't cause any delays. You're into the place within 5 or 7 minutes. But we have several shuttle bus routes, and the 208 bus extends its route and turns at our gate, so you can get the 208 from Mayfield through to Bishopstown to Cork and get off the bus at the summer show.
Okay, well, look, we look forward to it. The website is
www.corksummershow.com.
Robert Harkin of the Cork Summer Show. Fingers crossed for the sunshine, and that you'll have a great experience for everybody who goes there. Thank you so much for joining us on Red Business.
Thank you, Jonathan.
The only show in town for Cork business, Red Business.
Now, the final stop on our trip of upcoming festivals is Fitzgerald's Park in the heart of Cork City, that is going to be transformed into nothing less than a science super park on Saturday 22nd and Sunday 23rd, as Cork's first Carnival of Science comes to town. And to tell me all about that, I'm joined by Mervyn Horgan of the Lifetime Lab and Mary Walsh, who is a scientist with Cork City Council. I didn't realise we had scientists with Cork City Council, Mary.
Oh, we have more than one.
More than one, yes. Of course, yes. They're all doing different things, but we never think of you as scientists, of course.
Yes.
Look, we'll come back to you in a bit, but Mervyn, tell me a little bit about this. Lifetime Lab has been doing great work down there to teach kids science, to get them involved and almost get their hands dirty with the scientific world. So you're just expanding this out to a much bigger audience, are you?
We are, John. As you mentioned, we've been around now since 2006. Cork City Council identified that a little bit of support, a little bit further work needs to be done to promote the sciences. At the time, it was new in the curriculum as well. And Cork obviously has a reliance on third level institutions producing science graduates to keep us all working.
So the event itself, this is going to be part of the Midsummer Festival, which is always a great draw of tourists and Cork people to the city. So you decided, instead of holding it on the Lifetime Lab and being crammed to the rafters, you moved it to Fitzgerald Park. We've got a lot of space to do a lot of science.
We've a lot of space to do a lot of science, and we've a lot of activities to offer as well. So we've the likes of the London Science Museum coming over. We're putting a big top in Fitzgerald's Park for those. We've Eureka from Edinburgh coming down. We've Mad Lab from Gloucester. We've a huge international lineup of activities, and it's all based around having fun with science, engaging the subject and normalising it. So basically having science in an area that you mightn't think of.
You see, you want me to, I want to ask you the question, are you going to blow things up? Are we going to see fantastic explosions, controlled of course, of science and things going with purple puffs of smoke and all sorts?
We are.
You see, now you have me interested. Well, what are you going to do?
So one of the shows we have is Science for Life. So Sue is going to do a Science of Dragons show. So there will be fire and there will be dragons.
I was told dragons didn't exist. Are you trying to tell me that they do after Game of Thrones?
They do exist. And we'll find out on Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd of June. So that's one of our shows in the big top.
Very good. Well, I mean, it sounds like great fun. Mary, I mean, I was being somewhat flippant, of course, at the start saying scientists, because there's loads of scientists and there's loads of engineers. There's loads of people who make sure that the water comes through is clean. There's loads of people who do lots of things with physics, which is fundamental to a lot of the planning that goes on. What do you do with the City Council?
Well, most of my work is in the area of the environment. So I work on waste management, waste prevention, working with communities to kind of green their areas, greening events and so on. And also, I suppose the main thing is in relation to this event is promotion of science. We want to attract industry to Cork and develop the city, and I suppose key to that is providing an educated workforce and fostering a love of science and technology among our youth.
It's so important, because I was involved in IWISH last year, and
yes,
while I had gone as a reporter previously, this is the first time I've been involved in the organising and doing the PR for it. And it's just so important to get young people, and young women in that case, interested
Absolutely.
In science and show them the opportunities that
Absolutely.
Are there. They weren't there, I'd argue, when you were going to primary school
no.
or secondary school.
And I think, you know, back in 2005, 2006, when we established Lifetime Lab, we went out to the market to see what we could possibly do there. And as Mervyn mentioned, at the time, science was a new subject in the primary school curriculum. And I suppose primary school teachers wanted support. And that's kind of the reason for, you know, being of the Lifetime Lab. We provide science, engineering, maths, energy workshops, and like there's a huge appetite for it.
Yeah, but I mean, again, if you told me that there's going to be dragons in a tent in Fitzgerald's Park, I'd be in there like Flynn. So,
yes.
And presume you would have been as a child as well. So how important is it to get all the schools in Cork involved to make sure the message gets out there that this is going on?
Oh, absolutely. Very important. And I suppose we're going a step further with this event. It's taking it from the schools towards families. It's an event that's on during the weekend, during the summertime. And we want kids to come with their families. It's a family event, a free event. And it's, I suppose, engaging, entertaining with a capital E, yeah. Educate with a smaller E, you know, so it's just meant to be a fun event.
And Mervyn, you must see this as well when you got kids, you've kids coming through the door every single day, and some of them just won't be into it. Some of them will, you know, they'll go on, they want to be a policeman or they want to be something else. But there are kids then who you must be able to see it in their eyes. This kid is going to work in science. This is going to be an engineer. This is someone who loves seeing the colour of something changing from blue to green.
They do. And I think it's all got to do with the context in which the subject is presented. So I'd say that our role is to promote science in a fun and engaging way and offer a positive experience of the subject. And then let the children decide as they get older. You mentioned I Wish, when they go to college. So we just provide the foundation. I suppose what we'd be is a nursery, a science nursery. And the majority of children like blowing up things.
They
like picking up things. They like breaking things. They like making things. And unfortunately, the way we're going, education system is crammed, lots of subjects to cover, so those opportunities aren't as readily available as they used to be.
But the problem is that we have got a really good reputation of churning out good graduates that are liked by industry. The thing is, we don't know what industry is going to want in 10 years' time, so we need to ground kids in the basics right now, or else we may lose that competitive edge that we have.
That is correct, and again, by introducing children to the subject at an early age, you provide that foundation. You provide that basis. I think I read somewhere that 60% of the jobs in the country are going to be STEM related, but yet only 30% of the graduates leaving college now have that foundation. And it's not just about science or technology. It's about being a better rounded individual. It's about being able to analyse information and make an informed decision based on what you read, as opposed to maybe listening to the Twitter machine or listening to...
Oh, don't listen to the Twitter machine. That's the worst thing you can listen to. I tell the story a lot when I'm public speaking, that my son came home one day from school and his teacher had blown his mind because he told them, half of you will be doing jobs that haven't been invented yet.
Yes.
And this really opened the child's horizons, going, well, what do you think those jobs might be? And it was that moment of wonder, Mary, that went, I love that. I love seeing that in a child whereby the horizon is limitless. And that's what this event is all about, presumably.
Yeah, it's providing, as Mervyn said, a foundation so the children can have a foundation, but also that they're resilient enough to adapt to what comes or what hits them in the future. And I think, you know, science is a great basis. It's a great basic training for the future and for resilience and an ability to adapt.
And the most important thing, Mervyn, for parents who are listening, it's all free, isn't it?
You don't have to pay, all free.
Not a bob will have to exchange hands.
Yeah, it's all free and it's relaxed and it's informal. And I do think as we go forward, we can't rely on the schools to deliver every single thing that we want our children to learn. It's about creating a culture of science. It's about creating a science capital, that science, engineering, technology and maths, they're part of our everyday lives. We use them every day. We mightn't realise it. Everything from a mobile phone to the ambulance driver to the RNLI rescuing someone, even the guys watering the flowers. Science plays a huge, important role in everyday activity.
Well, all I can say is it sounds like tremendous fun. From the dragons to the slime making, to chemistry and bubbly maths, to the marquees with lots of different things and interactive exhibits. Tell me when it is on again. It is on the 22nd and 23rd of June?
Yes, Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd of June. We'll open the gates at 11 o'clock and it runs until 5.
Okay.
And everything is undercover, so rain or shine.
Oh, it's not weather dependent.
It's not weather dependent.
You've looked into the science of June, haven't
all
you?
All bases are covered.
No, absolute pleasure. Mary Walsh, scientist for Cork City Council, and Mervyn Horgan from the Lifetime Lab, and also the man behind the Carnival of Science. Thank you so much for joining us in Red Business, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
My thanks to all my guests, as always. Don't forget to check out redfm.ie to get the latest up-to-date information about the main events in Cork across the summer. And over 100 episodes of Red Business are available to download from redextra.ie. Niamh Hennessy produced. We'll catch you on the next one.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.